Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Now, with more and more people working from home, new graduates are missing out on those in-person learning moments. Many are missing those so-called water cooler moments. And some may be worrying about how they'll win promotions if you're not in the direct eye line of the boss. So how do you build allies if we're increasingly working in a remote world? I caught up earlier with Michael Melcher, author of Your Invisible Network, and I began by asking him if we put enough emphasis on human connection.
Merit is necessary but not sufficient. People are how you connect your value to the world. And people are also how you maintain positive well-being.
Do you think that's much harder to do, though, in a world where there's a lot of remote first working, a lot of hybrid working? It's just harder now.
The real challenge right now is how do you turn introductions and connections and initial meetings into something more meaningful over time? And the second thing that is really challenging in the hybrid work environment is that you lose the spontaneity. You run into something, somebody, you have a conversation, you discover something you have in common or some useful opportunity, and you could not have planned that. And that does not exist when you are hybrid. So you have to figure out ways to engineer that spontaneity into your life a bit more. So for example, in a room with 30 squares and half of them are turned off, it is difficult to get a sense of what your impact is. You want to present yourself well, but you're unlikely to find deeper intimacy. On the other hand, if you can have more one-on-one meetings, if you can reach out to catch up with people, if you can start using a bit of small talk at the beginning and end of meetings so that it's not simply agenda after agenda after agenda. But you're right. In a way, you have to be more deliberate. You can't just assume that it's all going to happen simply by showing up to your meetings on time.
Whether we're a graduate fresh out of college and we're trying to figure out where is the first job going to come from, or we're a retiree and maybe we want to pursue a new passion project, so we need a new network. You have a formula, a rule that is the 30-50-20 rule. Talk to me what that is.
It means that in any given 10 conversations or interactions, 3 out of the 10 will be really positive. There will be something you didn't expect, a value coming from them. 5 of those interactions, they'll be okay. They'll be businesslike. They'll be workmanlike. And then 2 out of the 10 will be either a little bit comfortable or watching paint dry, or the type of date where 2 minutes in, you want to signal the waiter and say, check, please, but you're kind of stuck in them. If you're in one of those 2 out of 10, instead of despairing about your whole effort, you could say, all right, well, I've checked off one of the 2 bummer conversations, and maybe the next one will be one of the 3 great ones.
Process of elimination, yeah. In all of that, I am a self-confessed introvert faking.
You hide it well.
Well, thank you. Hosting a radio show, I kind of have to. But I'm an introvert faking at being an extrovert. So I can definitely overthink. Do you think sometimes we overthink it, that we're sometimes trying to be a little bit too strategic and we need to be a bit looser and kinder on ourselves when it comes to kind of creating this whole momentum around people?
Yes, I think that's exactly true. We want a master strategy. So there are 7 types of relationships that are going to be important. You want to have a sense of making ongoing effort, small steps every day. But when it comes to the actual reaching out, you do want to have a looser attitude, because you can't really predict the outcome. You have to be a bit stoic in the sense of, all right, let me tend to my garden. Let me do what's under my control. Let me initiate. You highlight a really important point, which is it's not good to overqualify your targets, if you will. And you also cannot predict how any one conversation will come out. Do a little bit of overall strategic planning, but then just do the work and show up and don't overthink it too much.
Your book, Your Invisible Network, gets into 7 types of relationships we need to nurture for our careers and leadership potential. So you talk about, of course, there's our bosses, the senior stakeholders, our peers, colleagues, clients, mentors, sponsors, beneficiaries, friends. But you also talk about weak ties. And I wonder, can you define that? Because that does suggest we have to go outside our comfort zone and probably maybe re-engage with people from childhood or people we've never met before and get over a cold start problem.
So imagine a kind of radar screen. You're in the middle. In the innermost circle are your close colleagues, friends, some family members. A bit further out are people you know a bit less, but still have some ongoing exchange with, and kind of further and further, till in the outer rings, what are called very weak ties. And those tend to be two types, either people you haven't met or you've met them one time or you've had one very short conversation, and then people that you used to know and hang out with, but they've fallen out of touch. And of course, as we get older and more experienced and move around, that latter group becomes larger and larger and larger. So there is a lot of research about how social networks function, starting with Mark Granovetter in the 1970s. Your weak ties can have a more powerful impact on your career development than your strong ties. And that is because they have different information from you. You and I are having this conversation and we're understanding what each other is saying, and then we're both getting something out of it, but each of us has been in a kind of different world, and that's why it's so powerful. And also, weak ties tend to be a bit more open to you changing and growing than your strong ties, who might want you to stay the same or might have what we can call loving doubts about your ability to do something new. So the name of the game is the weak ties, but because you're not so in such close contact and you're the one initiating, you're going to feel a little bit awkward. And we just have to accept that and work through it and not be too scared of it.
What do you do if they don't respond? Because it feels like rejection and we're all familiar
with
that.
Well, you tell yourself, I'm a valueless loser. I shouldn't have done this. No, you do not do that. That's a joke. A non-response is not a no. It's simply a non-response. Other people are busy. They have their mountain of flagged emails in their inbox. They have their kid on the other line. Who knows what's going on in their house with their renovation project. So they're busy. You're not top of mind. You don't take it personally. Another ratio I often have told clients is 3-to-1. So expect that you're going to make 3 outgoing efforts for every incoming response. It's not actually that hard. It's probably less than 2-to-1 even, but you will send out messages to people who don't respond, and then you simply try again. And when you're repeating your initiative or reminding them, do it in a way that's not embarrassing for anybody. Hey, just wanted to check in about my message, or I was thinking of you again recently. I would love to catch up next week when you have a chance.
When we're doing the outreach, I think you have to kind of nail the ask. I often say that to people, you know, if you're reaching out, what is the ask? And therefore, you have to think about when you're building these invisible networks, is this person a potential mentor, coach, or are they a sponsor? Can you explain the difference between all of those different people and how we need to think about the ask, the request?
A mentor is a person who shares their experience, their specific secrets of success with you. So they often might be in the same type of vertical you're in. They may have a path that you want to follow yourself. So they give you information you can't find elsewhere. A sponsor has many mentor characteristics, but also intervenes in your career. A dramatic example of that was when Valerie Jarrett, who is a Chicago businesswoman, noticed young Barack Obama and took him under her wing and started introducing him to key players. And then a coach is somebody who helps you develop your career in the orthodox manner. It would be by asking questions and listening, of what we call leading from behind. So helping you discover your own answers as opposed to telling you what their answer was, which is more of a mentor role. The way that you find these people, it's not so dramatic. I mean, it would be nice if they came in on a white horse with a banner that announced them as your future sponsor or mentor. But typically, you just notice them in the work world. You might feel understood. You might feel inspired by them. You might feel a special kind of connection or understanding. So they start out as sort of a weak tie or a stranger, and you gradually get to know them. It is a matter of kind of paying attention who is showing up and also noticing those who may be offering to be that type of role. You build a relationship through what I call bids. So if someone says, you know, happy to give you this feedback. If you ever have any questions, please come to me. That's a bit of a mentor type of opportunity. Or, hey, I'm taking another partner to lunch. Would you and your office mate like to come with us? That's another type of invitation. Or here's my card. Call me if you have any questions. That's another type of invitation. And I think frequently we just don't see those and we don't act on those very opportunities to take up with somebody who might have benefit to our career.
We're heading into the month of September, which, you know, it's a lot of people starting school, maybe starting college, leaving college. What maybe top tips would you give to people who are looking for quick wins?
Number one, maybe think about a list of 10 people in your industry or world who you'd like to build better relationships with. You might know them already, you might not, but just write down their names, put it on a post-it next to your computer. Number two, practice what I call the ping, which is sending a message that doesn't require a response, like, Anya, great chatting with you today. Hope you have a fabulous summer. Or, hey, I passed that bubble tea shop in Dublin where we used to hang out at university. So each of those is a kind of warm, friendly message that doesn't say, hey, let's get together next week. Those are great because they reduce the pressure on you as well as the other person, and yet you are maintaining the relationship.
Michael Melcher, author of Your Invisible Network, How to Create, Maintain and Leverage the Relationships That Will Transform Your Career. Thank you so much for joining us on Reignite.
It has been an utter pleasure.